This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Try This at Home, an MCO-inspired series that looks at new activities or skills that you can pick up while at home. I'm Lee Chui Lin. So 2 weeks ago, we discussed cooking as one of the skills that people seem to be trying out. Kitchens have been busy spots for sure throughout the last month with people cooking for various reasons and also very much along a spectrum from basic recipes just to have something to eat to elaborate multi-step feasts. But today, what we wanted to do is dial it back and look at one of the foundational aspects of cooking, which is having a good pantry. So from organizing and stocking a pantry, knowing when to throw stuff out, there's a lot to parse through. And what might be common sense for our grandmas and all the other great chefs of our families might not be second nature to us. And a lot of it also comes from experience and use. I've certainly been guilty, for example, of buying something like cumin seeds, thinking I need it for a recipe. And then I head home and I find three half-finished stale packets just like accusing me in my pantry. So that's now something that I try to avoid, although not always successfully. So joining me today to discuss this is returning guest Illy Sulaiman, host and celebrity chef at the Asian Food Network. Illy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
So, okay, let's start with the basics, right? We've just moved into a house or we're starting from scratch and we're headed out to a supermarket or a market to begin stocking our pantry, what should we be looking for? What are the must-haves?
I think it's easy to kind of break everything up into categories. You know, that is probably my number one rule when you're setting up your pantry. So really think about the kind of foods that you like to eat. For instance, are you a rice person? Are you a noodles person? Are you like more of a pasta person? Because then you can kind of build your pantry with accordance to the items that you will eat. So I always kind of like break my pantry up into these categories. So you've got your carbs, your rice, your dry noodles, your pastas, your potatoes, your flour. Then you have your flavor profile items like your onion, your garlic, your spices, like your curry powder, your herbs, your ginseng, your belacan, whatever you are more inclined to be cooking. Then, of course, you have your proteins, that your canned proteins, like your beans, your sardines, your tunas, your ikan bilis, and your dried prawns, hebi, and all that kind of stuff. And then you also have your vegetables, like a whole pumpkin, if you're more into, you know, if you love pumpkin, your canned corn, peas, pickled vegetables, your dried chilies, you have your oils and your sauces. And of course, like every pantry also needs to dedicate a space for sweet things like custard powder, baking items, vanilla, icing sugar, and so on and so forth. So when you're going to start building your pantry, you really have to think about the types of food that you will be cooking, and then you start from there.
And I guess, how do you then decide when might be a good idea to splurge or splurge items? Because I'm thinking here of things like cheeses, which can cost a little bit more and are a bit more perishable, but they're also sort of nice to have around.
Sure. I think a lot of people get really excited about cheese and they end up buying too much. And then you can't eat a whole lot of cheese in one sitting without feeling, you know, sick to the stomach.
Yeah, pretty much. Just ill.
Yeah, exactly. Because cheese is, you know, it's not, it's a delicacy, I would say. You know, not everybody can eat large consumptions worth of it. So there are certain cheeses that you can actually freeze. So for instance, like your mozzarella, your cheddar, things that are a little bit more hardy, you can actually grate them and freeze them, and they're good to be used in, you know, sauces and lasagnas and toppings and things like that. But I would say, like, if it's a small household and only two people eat cheese, just, you know, buy smaller amounts of cheeses and then maybe wrap them in baking paper and then put them in an airtight container and put them in the fridge. They can last a long time. And if they get a bit of mold in it, like on top or around it, just cut it off and eat it. It's fine. I mean, cheese is mold anyway. So, yeah.
And how did... Okay, so what is your relationship like with your pantry? Do you have a very organized space?
Yes, I do. I have a love affair with my pantry. I love it so much that sometimes I sit in there and just kind of like sit in awe because I cook a lot, you see. And especially now during the MCO, I think all of my content that I've been creating is, you know, looking at things that you have in your pantry to make, you know, Ramadan delicacies and Raya, because I'm thinking about Ramadan and Raya already because it's, you know, it's coming on us like tomorrow. So, I do like to organize my pantry in a way that makes sense. So I, like I said, using the categories that we laid out, that is how my pantry is organized. So I have my carbohydrates in one area in large containers so I can see everything. So it's like a little system where I put everything in a big box. I put them straight up so I can see like, okay, this is the amount of vermicelli I have. This is the amount of boxes of pasta I have. These are my specialty rice, like my risotto rice, my sushi rice, you know, and so on and so forth. This is my basmati rice. This is my daily rice. So I have everything laid out. So when I pull the container out, I can see everything. And it goes the same with my pan, canned goods, my baking items. So I'm really quite organized in that sense.
And how important or central is your pantry when it comes to your personal meal prep and your daily meals?
Quite essential now, because I'm thinking like, okay, so people look at me and they, you know, they follow me on social media. I feel like I have a responsibility to kind of educate people about food wastage, as well as being a little bit more cautious about using not only fresh ingredients, because when you use too much fresh ingredients, it means you have to go out a lot more to buy stuff. So creating meals using more pantry items is something that I've been working on right now. And I think it's really kind of helped me develop recipes that use more pantry items than fresh items. So there's a bit of a balance, reducing my need to go out and buy more fresh ingredients.
Right. Let's take a look at someone then who has a pantry, has a stocked pantry, but it's maybe starting to get a bit out of hand. when would you know it's time to really get serious about organizing or cleaning out the pantry?
Right now, because, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I'm quite reliant on the pantry items. My pantry items need to be, you know, kind of replenish every 2 or 3 weeks, because, you know, in a day I will have a combination of two or three pantry items used in my three meals. And so if you are someone who doesn't really use your pantry very often, you do need to have like a proper like clear out every 2 months. Because you know, we live in Malaysia, right? So our kind of climate doesn't sit very well with because it's humid. It doesn't really sit very well with things that are half open. Like you said, you have that half bag of cumin that you use once, and then, you know, it becomes all moldy and stuff. So we have to be very cautious about cleaning our pantry out every two months, because we have things like ants and, you know, cockroaches and pests and stuff like that. So every 2 months, just give everything a wipe, put all the jars and cans that are at the back to the front, so you know that those are the ones that you need to use. And yeah, so basically that's what my suggestion is.
So what, You mentioned, I think, some containers earlier and some of the ways in which you keep your pantry organized. If you were to make a list, what are some good organizational items to have? Is it good to have labels, for example?
So when it comes to organization, I would definitely narrow it down to three things. So when you are starting to organize your pantry, you definitely need to get some containers. Some big ones, some medium ones, and some small ones. And these are for your packet items, things that come in boxes and packets, like your curry powder, your rice, your noodles, and things like that. Then definitely invest in some mason jars or airtight containers for your packet items that are already open. So for instance, like your salt, your spices, and so on and so forth. And then definitely the third thing is what I love about places like Daiso, they have these racks where you can double stack your tin goods and your packet goods. So you can literally see everything in your pantry. So instead of packing it up, you know, instead of like hiding things behind, you can just do it. So you can actually visualize all of your pantry items.
When it comes to beginning this process of organization, do you suggest that we start by... And I ask this simply because I think someone like Marie Kondo has really changed the way people think about organization, right? Like, so for her, it's everything comes out and then you decide from there. For you, how does it work? Should everyone clear the shelves so that they're able to get a good look at what you actually have right now?
I think definitely Marie Kondo has it right, because I feel that when it comes to a pantry, you have things that are hidden and you can't see. And that's where and you have to remember that a pantry has food. So if you don't see something and it sits there for a long time, then you invite things that you don't like pests. So definitely have something visually stimulating for you. And also like when everything is like really clear and you can see everything, you're actually more excited to be like cooking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So back to your question about, what was your question again? Sorry.
Just whether or not we should clear the shelves so that we're able to actually see everything before restocking.
Yeah. So in terms of like clearing the shelf, you know, not everybody has the luxury of like going into an empty space and then making their pantry. Some people already have a pantry and it's currently like looking like, you know, a storeroom, for instance. Mm. Like it is really important to kind of like maybe start in a corner and like start clearing out your items. So I would suggest getting a big, you know, garbage bag, some clean cloth with some soapy water and your containers and one big basket or big container for you to organize your pantry. So start in one corner and then work your way through. And then once you've kind of like organized the items, then you can start using the categories, like I said earlier. And then finding the right cupboards and shelving to kind of put your items out so you, when you open your cupboards, you can see everything.
We're speaking today with Ili Sulaiman, our host and celebrity chef at the Asian Food Network, about how to stock and organize our pantry. After this, we're also going to extend the conversation to fridges and freezers, because, of course, those are also places that need looking at. If you would like to ask Ili any questions, if you have any organizational tips of your own, you can always WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back on Try This at Home, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Try This at Home, which is a show that looks at new activities or perhaps skills that you might want to pick up right now. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Today, we are going back to basics and talking about the best approach to organizing and stocking a pantry. I have with me on, I would say the line, but it's actually over Zoom, Ili Sulaiman, host and celebrity chef at the Asian Food Network. Ili, I think a central question and one that a lot of people struggle with, when do you know something needs to be thrown out? Is it entirely dependent on the Best Buy date or is it common sense?
I guess for me, it really is, I mean, if you're really like the type that's like really cautious about, you know, about, you're worried about things and you're like in Malaysian, they say like was about, you know, what you can still consume, then don't add any more stress to yourself. Just throw it out. But for someone like me, like, you know, I'm pretty, I know where I buy my things. I keep it clean. You know, I store it well. You know, it's in a cool area. So I know, like, for instance, like canned goods, if it's past 6 months, I will still probably use it because it's not been out in the hot sun, for instance. And I think using your instincts is good. Like, open things up, smell them. If it smells funny and you're not sure, then throw it out, you know? So it's really, with everything that comes with food and, you know, things like that, it really depends on your gut feeling. So just, like, be in tune with, like, what your gut says.
Does that depend on different items? So you mentioned tinned goods, but there are also things like dry goods, right? Salt fish, you know, items like that. Would the rules change slightly?
Yes, definitely. I mean, if you look at, say, your ikan bilis, or your dried anchovies that have been with you for over 2 years, and it's in this, you know, container, and you start, when you open it up, it's, you know, it starts like disintegrating in your hands. That means it's definitely gone by its like best sell-by date. So you definitely need to throw it out. But if you open the container up and, you know, it still smells pretty, I mean, it, or it's still like in its, if it's still in its packet, and when you open up the packet and, the, you know, the dried ikan bilis is still whole, and, it, you know, it doesn't have a smell to it, it just smells really fresh, then by all means, because, you know, something like ikan bilis, dried prawns, dried sotong, these things are meant to last a very long time. Subject that you keep your pantry clean, you keep it cool, you clean it out every so often, and you store your food in proper containers and things like that. So that is the important bit.
And we're going to talk about, I think, vegetables as a whole shortly, but let's also talk about the kind of root vegetable staples that we keep around. So I'm thinking about things like potatoes or even onion, garlic. How can you tell when those items have gone off?
So this is a common mistake that a lot of people do. They put their onions, garlic, and potatoes all in one basket. And that is a no-go, because potatoes, onions, and garlic are not best friends. So you need to separate them. So make sure that you have two separate baskets. Make sure that it's not closed up or airtight. It has to be a basket that you know is breathable. Keep them in a cool, dry, dark place because they like that. So in one basket, you have your onions and garlic. They're fine. They're best friends. They can stay in one place. And then on the other side, you have another basket with your potatoes, your ginger, and maybe a pumpkin. If you have one big pumpkin that, you know, needs to mature, they can sit in another basket. But don't put everything in the same basket, because that's when things start to rot.
So your example earlier of the ikan bilis falling apart in your hands was quite specific. What is the grossest thing that you found in the course of, you know, looking in the dark corners of your kitchen?
Oh my God, so many. okay, so like the whole onion thing as well, like finding a colony of like fungus and maggots in a basket full of onions, that was not fun. I also, you know, you find all these little bugs as well, sometimes in your curry powder. They're like black and they look like ticks. If you don't put your curry powder in an airtight container and you haven't used it for a long time, there's so many like awful things I found, but I think these are the top two that I can think of at the top of my head.
Yeah, I've found bugs tunneling through rice noodles before, and it's something that I've never been able to escape.
Yes.
Yeah, and now you just look at them and you I don't know, you, it's not nice to suspect items in your own kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they call
weevils, I think.
Weevils, yes, weevils. You know, those things are quite harmless, because what they do is they just eat whatever it is that's in the packet, so your rice. So just make sure that you just wash it and rinse it many, many times to kind of like get rid of it. So that's fine. The thing that gets me is like cockroaches and maggots and flies and things like that. Those are the things that are really like not so fun to deal with.
Okay, so if we still have any listeners after our horrifying tour.
Sorry, guys.
So say you do find items in your pantry that you just don't use that much anymore, you know, all these half-used packets. What should we do with them? I mean, do you have any reliable ways to use them up, or, you know, is it time to get rid of them? What should we do?
I mean, it really depends on what you have. So, I mean, if it's like dry, I know a lot of people, like, you know, like you mentioned yourself, like you buy cumin, for instance, and you're like, you use it once in some recipe for like a lamb recipe. You never use it again because it's a very strong spice. And I think this is the time to get creative. You know, there's a lot of like DIY crafty things that you can do. But you can also do that for your kitchen. So, for instance, like you can make your own garam masala, for instance, using, you know, some of your leftover, a little bit of your fenugreek powder and your cumin powder and your chili powder that you have, all these random packets, like just put them all in one jar. And then there you have like an instant curry powder that is different from the store-bought curry powder, which you can then experiment making different types of curries. If it's things like, I don't know, like a half packet open buckwheat soba noodles and I don't know, another random you know, noodle that you haven't ever, you know, you used like one packet but then you have like another four, maybe boil them up and then make a salad, like a noodle salad or something. So it really depends on what items that are random in your pantry that you're using, that needs to be used. It also, this is the same thing, I think a lot of people have this problem as well, is in your fridge as well, you have like half a carrot and half an onion and like you're like, oh my god, what do I do with it, because it's not enough for you to like necessarily make a meal. But you can just chop everything up and make nasi goreng. That's the best bit about being Malaysian, you know, like everything goes into a nasi goreng and nobody's gonna judge you because that's what it's there for. Nasi goreng is a campak-campak dish, you know, whatever you have in your fridge, it goes into a nasi goreng.
So before we talk a little bit more about spices and herbs in particular, I did want to know, from your point of view, earlier you talked about buying canned foods that suit you, right? That suit the way you like to eat. But from your point of view, what are the most versatile canned food items that are good to have, especially in a time like this, where we do want our pantries to be able to serve as basis for solid dishes?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So things like chopped tomatoes, soups like, you know, chicken soup, beef soup, whatever kind of soups that you want, because these can be used not only as soups, but they can be used in sauces and gravies and curries and things like that. Your canned proteins like your sardines and your tunas and your corned beef and your, you know, in Spam and things like that. Then you also have beans. I think these are the three probably canned goods that I buy the most of. Beans could be like baked beans, chickpeas, all these beautiful beans that we have. You can make so many different things with it. So if I had to pick three, this would be it.
What advice do you have on storing herbs and spices? I think this is a really crucial one because, like you pointed out, the humidity is troubling in our country, and spices also, they lose a lot of their freshness very quickly.
Yes. So for spices, like masala spices, like, you know, all these herbs like oregano, mint and thyme and rosemary, I would suggest definitely putting this in your fridge because they don't last. More once you open it, they don't really like, they start acting all weird and funny and they lose their flavor. So definitely put these into your fridge because they last a lot longer. And then for your local spices, like your curry powders and your cumins and your cinnamon and all this kind of stuff, like I would say put them in airtight containers in your cupboard if you use them a lot. If you don't, then definitely in the fridge as well.
And airtight is important.
Yes, airtight is important because you don't want any of the moisture. We live in a humid country. We don't want the moisture to go in. And then once the moisture goes in, then you have, you know, your fungus and your bacteria is all kind of like having a party in there.
So moving on then from pantry dry items, how do you store your fresh food such as vegetables and meat? So once you've come back, you've got your week's worth of, you know, what you plan to make. What do you do right away?
So I usually spend about another hour after I've come back just cleaning everything. So I clean my fish, I clean, you know, I take all my chicken because I buy everything in bulk, and then I portion everything out so that it's a lot easier for me to then take it out to defrost. So I usually freeze all of my my meats and my fish. And then for my vegetables, this is like a tip because I didn't go to culinary school. I learned everything from my grandmother. So this is a tip that my grandmother taught me. When it comes to your leafy vegetables, anything that has leaves on it, just soak some newspaper and then wrap your vegetables in it, because the something about the carbon and the moisture actually keeps your vegetables living. They're a lot fresher. And then you just wrap them up in bundles, and then I usually just write with a marker pen like what they are, and then I organize it in my fridge. So that's an awesome tip, and it's something that we do in my family. A lot of people don't read newspapers anymore, which is a shame. So if you don't have newspapers at home, you can just use your kitchen towels.
Oh, excellent. So, and you mentioned earlier also nasi goreng, or I guess stir fries, which are just really easy ways to use stuff up. What happens when you do have some vegetables that are starting to get a little bit wilted, a little bit sad looking, but they are still edible? Outside of stir fries, do you have any other sort of methods or recipes that you enjoy using to just use it up?
Yeah, definitely. I think buying the type of vegetable that lasts longer is also a very important tip. So I always spend, I like my leafy vegetables, but I don't spend a lot of my grocery budget on leafy vegetables, especially this time, because they don't last as long. So I buy the hardier ones like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, your carrots, beetroot, things that are, not super leafy, or green beans. And you can actually freeze most of this. So you can freeze your carrots, you can freeze your cauliflower, your broccoli, your carrots, your long beans as well. So it's actually a really good tip to cut them up, especially if they're looking a little bit sad. Just cut them up, wash them, and then just put them in the freezer, and they will definitely last a lot longer. That's another great tip. Is you can find all this kind of information online, of course, but that's what I usually do as well if I know that I don't want to go out for the next 2 weeks. So that's what I do.
And I think in this time, people might be getting into batch cooking, right? Making larger serves of things and eating it throughout the week. A lot of us also just have leftovers in the fridge. What advice do you have in terms of how long food can actually last? Because I think this, again, differs from person to person. Some people will eat leftovers the next day or throw it out. Others will let it stay on perhaps far too long.
Yeah, I think like for me, maximum is like 3 days in the fridge.
Okay.
3-4 days. It doesn't really last that long, because I like to utilize my leftovers, and I like to categorize my leftovers as well. So if it's like Chinese, is like in one pile, like one, it's on one shelf, and then like Indian is on one shelf, and then like Malay food is one shelf. And the reason why I do this is because I like to experiment, like doing different things. So if I have like some leftover stir-fried greens and some, like a lonely bok choy, like just one guy, kind of like sad in the fridge. And then I have some leftover rice, I'll make a porridge. So I'll put everything into my rice cooker, put loads of water in, and then let it boil. And then I have a nice rice porridge for a meal. If it's like, say I have some leftover fish curry, I take the bones off the fish curry, and then I saute the curry until it's really, really dry. And then I put in some rice, and then I have, nasi goreng. So it really, just utilize it as much as you can to avoid wastage. That's my advice. And don't keep it in your fridge for like 2 weeks. That's just nah.
And hope for the best.
No, because you make yourself sick, and there's no point in doing that.
So speaking of utilizing and also hoping for the best, we've talked about the freezer quite a lot, right? And how it can really be a good friend in this time. What about your rules of thumb, I guess, for the freezer? How long can things last there?
Freezers are a little bit more friendlier. So for instance, like if you're buying things that are not frozen when you go to the grocery store, and then you prep everything and then put it in your freezer, it can, if you don't touch it, you don't take it out and defrost it and never put it back in, things can last up to a whole year or more even. So the problem with a lot of Malaysians, what they do is they buy and then they put the whole thing in the freezer, and then they take it out, defrost it, and then they put it back into the freezer. Now that's when you create cross-contamination, and that's not very good. So the best thing to do is actually when you buy things, make sure that you clean everything, you put them in containers, and then you freeze it. So you know that the stuff is clean, and then when you want to cook, it's so much easier. You just take it out, defrost it, and then you cook it.
Is it better to cook items and then freeze them, or freeze raw ingredients?
It depends on what you're making. For instance, like if I'm, like you were talking about big batches of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, like things like what I make is in big batches is things like sausage rolls or pies or, you know, sauces like bolognese sauce or stocks for stews and chicken stock and beef stock and fish stock. Those are fine for you to like cook in a big batch, put them in containers and freeze. They last up to a year as well, as long as you don't double freeze them. So you don't take it out, defrost them, and then put them back in. So that is the rule. Once you freeze it, like just leave it until you're going to use it. Don't like defrost it and put it back into the freezer.
Okay, Ili, finally, any last words of advice on how to kind of be cooking as well as maximizing your pantry and your grocery shopping during this time?
I think, guys, just don't go crazy and overbuy, because this is not the time for us to be wasting. So really, when you go out and buy items or you want to set up your pantry, you want to set up your fridge, make sure that you know the kind of foods that you like, write a list down, and then budget, like, okay, how much of this item that you need, and then go out and buy it. And then that's when, once you get yourself into that kind of mindset, you are setting yourself up to success. So that's my advice.
Ili, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope it was helpful. And I'm really sorry if, you know, all the professional chefs out there looking at me, like listening in and going like, oh my God, she has no idea what she's talking about. And the thing is, like, I grew up with my grandma and, you know, this is the tips that she taught me and it served me very well for 35 years. So I think that, you know, sometimes it's just make do with what makes sense to you.
And on that note, you've been listening today to Ili Sulaiman, host and celebrity chef at the Asian Food Network, talking to us about organizing your pantry. And then we went on to as well the fridge and the freezer. If you have any tips of your own that you'd like to share, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. You have been listening to Try This at Home on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.